Hello everyone, welcome to yet another episode of The Podcast. I'm your host Srinidhi, and with me today I have Clement. Clement is a co-founder of Product Manager HQ, a community dedicated to providing career advice for aspiring product managers and experienced product managers. He has written over 60 plus best practice articles and has been a featured speaker and writer for more than 15 different organizations. Outside of Product Manager HQ, Clement is also a product manager at Blund, a San Francisco-based startup that partners with lenders and technology providers to reimagine consumer finance. In the last 3 years, Clement has launched 4 multi-million dollar products, and he's actively tackling new problem areas to unlock next generation of multi-million dollar products. Hi, Clement. Thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to speak on your behalf.
Quickly getting started with this, Clement. My very first question is going to be something that all the aspiring product managers who are our listeners would like to hear. What or who is a product manager? And could you talk to us about your journey into product management?
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of who is a product manager, I think that's a really fantastic question to ask, because one of the things that's been happening a lot is, you know, more and more people are learning about product, but given that it's such a new career field, it can be really difficult to understand what it is that they exactly do. So I'm going to first take a step back and provide a little bit of context in terms of what the world looks like without product managers. And then that way we can learn a little bit more about how a product manager fits into the world. So in terms of what the world looks like with no product managers, there are generally three groups of people. You have users or customers, and kind of for them, they have a bunch of pains that they want to be solved. They're willing to pay time or money to solve them, and they don't know how to solve it on their own. So that's group number one. Group number two is the business. And so basically businesses, what their goals are to be able to create a profitable, long-running organization that can serve customers profitably and also be able to continue hiring and, you know, keeping their employees happy.
Right.
And then finally, you have the development team. So basically, the development team, I like to think of as engineers and designers. Mm-hmm. And so kind of what their pains are, you know, they really want to build something that's really cool, something that they really are excited about. And they also want to make sure that it's maintainable.
Right.
And kind of one of the challenges that you have with these three groups is they very rarely work well together without a product manager in between. So if you think about it, right, like a lot of times when customers and businesses interact, it can be, you know, full of conflict where a customer might tell the business, no, like I want you to give me this particular thing that you don't sell, or no, I want you to give this to me for free or for a really reduced price. And the business might try to sell the customer a bunch of stuff that the customer doesn't actually need. So there's a lot of inherent conflict between these two groups.
Right.
Between, you know, the business and the development team, a lot of times businesses say, oh, build all of these features. You know, you have to go fast, fast, fast. And the development team says, no. We have to make sure that it's well architected. We want to refactor the kind of the architecture. We want to redo the entire design paradigm. And so there's a lot of conflict there in terms of urgency. Mm-hmm. And then between the developers and the customers, there's also a lot of conflict because a customer might say, I need it built this way. And the development team says, look, we can't actually build it that way because, you know, you don't have a clear understanding of the way that the product is built. What if you build it this way instead? And then the customer says, well, I don't want that, right? So kind of all of these groups are fighting with each other a lot of the time.
Right.
And so the thing that, you know, really brings all of them together is a product. So a product is basically, you know, some set of functionality that solves a customer's pain, provides revenue at a profitable margin for the business.
Right.
And it's something that developers and engineers, you know, are really happy to continue maintaining.
Right.
And so kind of the product brings them all together. And so the product manager is the person who works across all three of these organizations to really figure out what is the best product that we can build to, again, make all of these customers really happy, ensure that the business stays in business, and also get the development team, engineers and designers, really excited and build something that isn't full of technical debt. So kind of that's the way in which I think about, you know, who is a product manager. Does that make sense?
Great answer, Clement.
Yeah. And so I think the other thing that you mentioned is, you know, you're curious to hear a little bit about, you know, how I became a product manager.
Right.
And so funnily enough, I actually began as a management consultant. And so my work was really into understanding, you know, how do businesses think about strategy?
Right.
But on top of that, part of my job was also to do analytics. So basically help to train that organization on how to do all of these different analytics. And with that, one of the things that I found really painful as a consultant was that the tool that I was training people on was very unintuitive. And so, you know, I had to spend, you know, 3 hours every single day on the phone teaching my clients how to read this software. And it was really brutal for me as well as for all of the other consultants at that company, because we were spending all of this time doing basically tech support rather than really enabling people to, you know, take on these analytics themselves and really drive value.
Right.
And so from there, I kind of learned, you know, product is something that is potentially really powerful. From there, I basically pivoted into user research, basically to draw a lot of these insights from my specific clients and bring that in front of my product team to say, hey, look, this is what people are facing. Here are their mental models. Here's what they're getting blocked. How about we build a new set of functionality that incorporates these pains, right? So kind of that's where I started bringing the customer side of that triangle I mentioned of those three groups to the table. So that people understood, you know, what are the problems that we're trying to tackle. From there, I basically jumped organizations. I went to a real estate brokerage, basically to continue helping them doing customer research. So, you know, similar to what I was doing before as a management consultant, now I was doing research. And what I had done was I'd found this really compelling customer segment. And, you know, we thought that, you know, we could go after these customers in a really profitable way. So what I did was I basically pitched my management team saying, hey, we should really create a business within a business, because these customers cannot be served by our existing business model. We have to serve them with a new business model.
Right.
And so this is the part where it starts to get a little bit funny. So basically what happened was at that time, you know, our product manager was saying, look, it's great that you want to create a new business, but I don't have the time to build products for that new business because I'm too busy maintaining the existing business. Right. Go find someone else. And so my executive team was saying, well, we could find someone else, but product managers are expensive. And when you hire them, you don't necessarily know if they're a good fit.
Right.
What about this customer researcher right here? You know, this customer researcher pitched us on, you know, spinning up this business. He understands the customer really well. He understands the business really well because he's the one who convinced us to do it. Right. Let's just turn him into a product manager.
Wow, that's very nice.
And the thing is, and so here's the really funny part is I didn't really want to become a product manager. So I told them, wait, I don't know anything about engineering. I can't code, right? Like I have a double major in business and biology. Like that's not code. Like I can't design for my life. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Don't make me do this. But my CEO really pushed back hard against me. He said, Clement, I really trust you. I really think that you're going to do a fantastic job. I'm going to sit you down with an engineer for a whole week. I'm going to sit you down with a designer for a whole week, and then you're going to become a product manager. So that's what happened. So I basically fell into product completely accidentally. So yeah.
That's nice. So Clement, this draws me to another 2 points. So I see that customer empathy or understanding customer is very critical to become a product manager, right? Mm-hmm. And number two,
absolutely.
I think it's also okay if you do not code, you could still become a product manager. Right?
Absolutely.
That's personally a great key takeaway for me as well, because I cannot code, but again, I aspire to become a product manager someday. That's a great insight. Thank you so much for that, Clement.
Yeah, for sure.
So moving on to the next question, you have also authored books such as First Contact and Breaking Into Product Management, which is your recent one. I got an opportunity to read Breaking Into Product Management, and I have some key questions which I think our listeners would really like to know more about. Right. So I'm just going to list down some of the questions here, and you could probably answer for us more on that.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
So what a day in life looks like for different kind of product managers, and how to think like a product manager in a lot of interviews that I recently, happened to interview for a lot of organizations, they give me a lot of assessments. So I'd really like to know more about how to think like a product manager from a day-to-day basis with all the data, and how to talk to an engineer and a bunch of questions like that. And few must-have and good-to-have skills to become a product manager.
Yeah, these are fantastic questions. So I'm going to go ahead and tackle these one by one. Mm-hmm. So first, let's focus on, you know, what a day looks like in the life of a product manager. And so one of the things that I mentioned, you know, earlier on is product managers, they fill the white space. You know, they work with different kinds of customers, businesses, and developers. And so almost by definition, there is no definition, right? Because the thing is, you know, there are so many different kinds of customers you might work with. There are so many different kinds of businesses you might work with. And there are so many different kinds of development teams that you might work with. Mm-hmm. And so as an example, right, like a product manager who works on a mobile product for B2C businesses are very, very different from a platform product manager, someone who's really building, you know, kind of heavily technical internal architecture to ensure that other teams can move quickly. So I would say part one is different kinds of product managers, their lives look very different, even though they all hold the title and the role product manager, because they're serving fundamentally different audiences. I'd say the second part is even within the same product manager's life, each day looks very different, which is, you know, all sorts of fun. If you're into uncertainty, it can be somewhat frustrating if that's not something that you're used to. And so as an example, one of my, you know, recent sets of days at work was, recently I was tackling, you know, a good number of bugs. And so, you know, diving really deep with engineers and with our customer support team to really understand, you know, why is this bug happening? How do we diagnose it? How do we prevent it from happening? You know, working alongside our account management team and our legal and compliance team to assess what is the impact, what are our mitigations, what sort of reporting do we need to have, working with our data analytics team to understand, you know, where are kind of all of the fires, you know, what is the root cause? And so like that might be one day of really intense firefighting. But then I had a different day where, you know, I, as well as the rest of the product organization, got up in front of our entire company to share about our, you know, roadmap for the year. And so really sharing with our client-facing teams, how should you talk about our product? What are the upcoming functionalities? Why should we focus there? Kind of why are we not going to tackle other things? I think one of the things that's really important about product is understanding not just what you're saying yes to, but also really understanding what you're saying no to and why you're saying no to it. Because, you know, customers all have a bunch of needs. And so it's really understanding how to prioritize. Right. There are totally other days where I might be diving super deep into analytics. I might be diving really deep into user research. And so there's just such a different mix of things that you need to do. I'd say kind of the day in the life is really dependent on understanding what your priorities are and where things are being blocked, and understanding what is the highest leverage use of my time right now to really ensure that the product continues to move forward. And again, that might mean that you're, you know, wrangling with customers. It might mean that you're tackling things alongside the business, or you might be working alongside your development team to really understand, you know, how do we build a solution? So that's kind of my thought in terms of what a day in the life looks like for different kinds of product managers.
Wow, that's a great answer.
Yeah. In terms of how to think like a product manager, I think one of the things is, how do I phrase this? Thinking like a product manager is something that is not typically trained in school. You know, this is something that I personally picked up over time.
Right.
And so I think this is a really fantastic question that you're asking on behalf of your listeners.
Right.
Really, the way that I like to think about product managers is, you know, we're basically problem solvers. And so we're almost problem managers and less so product managers. And the reason why I say that is because you're always trying to figure out a solution, right? So again, kind of a product manager sits in between three different groups of customers, the business, and development teams.
Right.
And so you're solving problems for every single one of them. Kind of each one of them is your customer, right? And so it's really trying to first understand what is the pain that they're having? You know, why are they having that pain? What is it that they're actually trying to tell you when they, you know, call you up, right? So, you know, when a customer says, I need this feature, right? Or when a business says, you know, we want to take on this marketing strategy.
Right.
Or when, you know, an engineer says, you know, I'm not quite sure how we want to implement this thing. It's really trying to understand what is that fundamental pain and really understanding why are they facing that pain? You know, what is the context behind that pain, right? So first it's really about understanding what is the pain of the person that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, trying to understand, you know, what is the priority of this pain, right? One of the things that is challenging about product management is that you're always filling in the white space. And that means that there are theoretically, you know, thousands, if not millions of pains that you could be tackling every single day. Which ones are the ones that actually matter, right? So from there, then you have to screen out which of the pains are the ones that you can actually meaningfully tackle that will unlock, you know, ROI, will unlock a lot of benefits.
Right.
From there, it's really about being creative. So you want to work alongside all three of these groups to try to figure out how are we going to solve everyone's pain, right? So again, kind of you always have three different facets of the same problem. If
right.
someone says, oh, I want to ship this feature, you have to figure out, okay, does it actually make our customers' lives better? Does it actually give our business more revenue? Or does it make customers happy so that you can continue to earn revenue? And is it something that we can actually build? Is it something that we can actually design for meaningfully? And so from that perspective, every problem that you're tackling, you always have to use three different lenses at least of what are the customers thinking? What is the business thinking? What is the development team thinking?
Right.
And use that to basically craft a solution. And so I think one of the things that you mentioned was actually, you know, really timely, is how do I go into an interview, right? Like, how do I think like a product manager when I'm in an interview and I might not yet have had that experience? I think it's less so about thinking about, well, how could I be a product manager? And more about thinking about how can I be a problem solver for this organization? Right. How can I really understand what their pain is? And so when you're going into an interview, mm-hmm. I think it's less about being a candidate, right? It's less about, oh, like I have to say the right thing or I have to use the right framework or whatever. It's correct. Not about impressing the interviewer. It's all about why does this interviewer have this pain? How can I help them overcome this obstacle so that they can build a better business, right? So I think when you shift from being in an antagonistic role where you're fighting the interviewer to being in a collaborative role where you're problem solving alongside them, it takes a lot of the fear out of that conversation and makes it really powerful for them to understand what your value add is. And that dramatically increases the chances of you making it into the next round. And so it's really less about thinking about, well, how do I get this job? And more about how do I make my customer successful? And currently my customer is the interviewer who's sitting in front of me. Does that make sense?
Wow, that's great answer. I'm really able to relate to a lot of places where I think I would have messed up in my previous interviews, Kevin. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, so, for sure.
The last bit is going to be a few must-have and a good-to-have skills that you could think of.
Yeah, for sure. And so you mentioned earlier on that, you know, I have published a book called Breaking into Product Management. Right. And there I actually call out three absolutely critical skills you have to have. And you really have to have all three to be able to be successful.
Right.
And so the first set, and kind of these two come together, is empathy and communication, right? So the thing about empathy and communication is because you're working with all these different groups, at the end of the day, you're interacting with people, right? You're not really interacting with, you know, the databases, you're not really interacting with the software. You're really trying to fight these really human problems, right? Like you're really working for customers who are all humans. You're working for a business which is made of humans. You're working with developers and they're all human too, right? So it's really about resonating deeply with their pain. Right. And then being able to share out, you know, being able to communicate all of that. Because the thing is, even if you have empathy, if you can't educate the other two groups on, you know, why does this matter to them, mm-hmm. then you're not going to make a lot of progress, right? So I think one of the things that I see a lot is someone might be really good at empathizing with, you know, an engineer or a designer. But then I notice that they have a really difficult time kind of sharing those insights out to the customer to say, look, this is the reason why we can't build it this way, right? I think it's really important to first have that empathy of all three groups, but then also to be able to share that information across them, because otherwise they're basically going to continue fighting, right? And so you can't just be, you know, rooting for one team. You have to really figure out how are we going to work for all three of them. And so being able to communicate thoughts really clearly is absolutely critical, right? So I'd say kind of that's the first set that you absolutely need to have.
Right.
The second set that you absolutely need to have, and again, these two come together, is grit and speed of learning. And so by grit, I mean like determination, right? I mean, you know, someone who just won't stop, you have to keep going. And the reason for that is, again, because product management is inherently a really difficult role to have, which makes it really fulfilling, but also makes it really tough. And so the thing is, again, you're basically working three jobs almost, or almost four, where you have to serve the customer, you have to serve the business, you have to serve the development team. And on top of that, then you have to learn about all the things that are in between them to be able to craft an amazing product. And so you really need to have that dedication. You really have to be able to push through really difficult times, times of uncertainty, times of, you know, a lot of things happening all at once. And so you really need to have that determination.
Right.
But determination is not enough. Like, you need to be able to learn really quickly. The thing is, you know, even if you're really, really determined, if you aren't willing to learn from your customers, from the business, from the development team, one of the things that I see is, you know, there are some really gritty people out there who are not willing to admit I'm wrong, right? They're not willing to admit that I don't have all the answers and I really need to work alongside these other people to learn. And so again, kind of being able to learn really quickly enables you to break into, you know, different industries, enables you to tackle different kinds of products that you may never have had exposure to before. Right. And so being able to learn really quickly is important. And I'd say kind of the final must-have skill is being able to prioritize ruthlessly. Because again, as I mentioned before, you could tackle thousands of conversations, right? There are just so many different things that you could potentially touch because the customer has all of these things and the business has all of these things and the development team has all of these things. And how do you really pick the things that will really enable all three of them to move forward? And so you really have to prioritize. The thing is, it's no longer just your time because now you're serving three groups. If you don't prioritize correctly, you're failing the customer and the business and the development team. It's no longer just your time. It is organizational time, right? And so you have to be really, really thoughtful about how do I prioritize the work that's necessary to move this entire organization forward? So I'd say kind of those are the must-have skills. And basically from there, I think a lot of the, how do I phrase this? A lot of the good to have skills kind of come along with the job, or they come along with your past experience, but they're not really critical. The thing is, you really need to have the must-have skills, and kind of the good to have ones just don't really matter that much, because theoretically speaking, you know, if you're really empathetic, if you're really communicative, if you can learn really quickly, if you can really prioritize, you can essentially learn any skill that you need, right? So as an example, I learned SQL on the job. I learned how to work with Figma, like a design tool, on the job. I worked on, you know, how to figure out like revenue forecasts on the job. Like I never learned any of these things before. Right. And so, you know, a lot of the good to have skills don't matter if you already have the must have skills, because they will enable you to craft new skills out of nothing. Right. Whereas I think a lot of people, they over-index on good to have skills. Like they over-index on, oh, I really wish I knew how to write in Python, or I really wish I knew how to do SQL analytics, or I really wish I knew how to do customer interviews. And sure, yeah, they're helpful in that they reduce the amount of time it takes for you to onboard, but right, they're not as important as the must-have skills.
Right. I'm secretly smiling here because I'm one of them who's trying to ram my head with a bunch of Python codes and I'm heading nowhere. But that's a great answer, Clement. So to my listeners, if you'd like to learn more about cracking or breaking into product management, you should definitely check out what Clement has recently published, Breaking Into Product Management, and do let us know or get in touch with Clement to discuss more about this. That's a great answer, Clement. So quickly moving on to our last question for the day. You have started or co-founded Product Manager HQ. I'm also a very community-driven person. So what made you start this journey, and where are you in this journey so far?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, again, you know, kudos to you for starting a community, because, you know, it's so difficult sometimes to really break through that inertia and to really understand what is the pain that I can solve in the world, right? So again, you know, really, really excited to, you know, be on the podcast today, and, you know, kudos to you for starting it. In terms of, you know, the way in which I thought about, you know, Product Manager HQ, you know, my co-founder, Kevin Lee, he had this really amazing idea of, you know, I want to be able to build a community where folks can gather and talk about, you know, the challenges of product management. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, before there were, you know, all these different Slack forums, before there were all these different conferences, it was really hard to meet another product manager. And so kind of his core insight is, what if we could get all of these different product managers to talk to each other so that way we can all learn and grow alongside one another? And so, you know, that was his core insight. And so he really first focused on building together this amazing Slack community. And then on top of that, he basically overlaid this newsletter that, you know, really shared the key resources of the day of, you know, what are different organizations saying? What are the different trends in product management?
Right.
And the place where I found that I could potentially, you know, provide a lot of value is I started noticing that, you know, there are a lot of folks in the community who are, how do we phrase it? A little bit more quiet. You know, they're not necessarily as comfortable reaching out to ask questions that are on their minds. And so I thought, hey, this is a really great way for me to dive in and understand what are people's pains? What are the things that people wish they were asking but haven't asked yet? And how do I compile these really crisp frameworks so that way they can take it with them to any job in the future, right? So rather than, you know, kind of having to wait for someone to respond to them, why don't I craft something that they can always reference in the future? Like, why don't I give them something that they can come back to, you know, month after month, year after year, that will continue to support them throughout their journey? Because one of the things, again, that I noticed is, because product management is so new, it's sometimes difficult for a product manager to find a mentor, right? Like if they're the only product manager within their organization, or if they're working remotely, they may not have a manager who's mentoring them as a product manager. So it's, how do I craft these reference materials so that people can always go back and continue to grow without being inhibited by kind of whatever situation they're currently in? So kind of that was my core goal, is really creating these reference materials that people can always go back to, right, so that they can continue to accelerate their growth. And so, you know, that has been a really amazing journey. At this point in time, I've written more than 60 articles, as you've mentioned. And I think, you know, the feedback that I've gotten is astounding. You know, I've heard, you know, so many aspiring product managers break in, whether they are from South Africa or from Russia or Vietnam. You know, I've heard from all these people around the globe. And it's not just that. You know, I've heard heads of products reach out to me, CEOs reach out to me and say, look, Clement, this is such amazing material that I'm going to bring it into my first day onboarding for my product managers, or I'm going to bring this into kind of our yearly development plans for product managers. And so I think it's been really amazing to kind of help up-level the entire community with, you know, really, really evergreen material so that everyone can continue to level up.
Right. I'm personally a really big fan of your blog articles, as well as I always read Kevin's newsletter. So I just like to go on the record to say that you guys are doing a very fabulous job at product.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Right. All right, Clement. So that was great, great insights from you. And it was really wonderful interacting with you. Thank you so much for taking your time to join us at the podcast today. And you've shared a very great insights for our listeners.
Of course. Again, you know, so happy to be able to, you know, take the time to address, again, kind of the needs of your listeners and, you know, always looking to continue to help others. So again, thank you so much for inviting me. Really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Clement. Have a great day ahead.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much. Okay.